Since the last Eid al-Fitr, how have we been? How are the scales of our actions looking? Towards the left, towards the right, evenly balanced, we should be concerned. So many things that we ought to have done, we have left undone. So many things that we did, we should have not done. Forgetfulness, resentments, telling untruths or half-truths, cutting corners, wasting the gift that is every moment of our lives, this Ra's al-Mal, this capital that we have, that always diminishes, that never increases, until there is not a penny of it left and we enter the qubur. But through our distraction we just throw away that money. We don't invest it. Any economist, anybody with a business, anybody with a brain will tell you, if you have this huge sum of money, you can just sit and spend it, watch inflation eat away at it until finally it's all gone. Or you can invest it. You can send it forwards. You can look forward to dividends and profits. And we know that the month of Ramadan is a time when we think in these terms, when every soul looks to what it has set forward to tomorrow. مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ, and tomorrow is not so far away. How many people in this blessed Jama'ah attended Ramadan last year but have now gone on to their Lord? No more fasting. How many who are here this year, including myself, will not be here next year? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone knows how many breaths we still have to take. So when the month of Ramadan comes, we start to reflect. Ramadan, sometimes the fasting feels like a little death. In the grave, there's no eating, no drinking, no indulgences really of any kind. Just contemplation and reflection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifts us with this precious season as an offering, saying, here is a boost for your investment. Are you going to use it? Are you going to think more carefully about what you've got? This fixed capital of days and months and hours and seconds, which expires when He chooses, of beatings of your heart, which are of a fixed number. Are you going to use this and store up something sensible for the next world, the day of al-hasad, the day of harvesting? Are you to be amongst the muflihun, those who harvest, those who are truly successful? Or are you just going to sit back and watch your capital waste away? With the month of Ramadan, we have an opportunity to think more carefully about this, which is a truth. It's a reality. It is not just a story. Human life is a cycle. We come from the earth, we walk upon it, we return to it again. فِيهَا نُعَيْدُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. We shall return it to you one more time. And then from it, again, the final tara, the final resurrection, and there it is. And then we consider, that didn't take very long. كَأَنَّهُمْ يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَهَا لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا عَشِيَّةً أَوْ ضُحَاهَا. On the day when they see it, it was as though they'd spent only an evening or a forenoon in this world. Time just goes so fast. And we are not making use of it. We're not being muflihun. This time we think about the year to come and the year that is past, and we try to imagine how we can make this a kind of staircase. Do we want our lives to be flat? Or do we want to go up every year? Up is that for which we are designed. Our true habitat is to be in the heavens with the angels, not to be on the earth with the slithering and slithing things, with the dogs and the pigs and the earth itself. No, we are between heaven and earth. We are called to rise up. Ma bi felek budayim, yari melek budayim, heman cherabim khaje ke an shahremast. We are born to be the companions of the angels. Let's go there again, my friend, because that's our homeland. This is where we belong. We belong with the multitude of souls that were saying, Bala Shahidna, at the day of, Am I not your Lord? Alastu bi Rabbikum. And that Bala Shahidna is still within our souls. We bear witness with the lisan al-hal, with the mute eloquence of ourselves. We are still his servants, even though the heart rebels and we are distracted and we don't understand. But we are still enslaved to the one who is the beginning and the end, and before the beginning and after the end, we are his slaves, abid, servants. But our natural home is that abode, the bezmi alast, the gathering of Am I not your Lord? What an ecstatic gathering that must have been. Passing around the glasses of remembrance, no possibility of distraction, there he was, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all we could do was to say, certainly we bear witness, when he asked, Am I not your Lord? And then we come into the clay, the angel breathes us into the earth, and then we have this earthy dimension as well as this airy dimension, and it becomes a battle between the two. Gravity is powerful, hard to escape it. You need to make an effort to climb a mountain. Sliding downhill is so easy. But then you get to a dark place, and then it becomes easier to go to a still darker place, and to a still darker place, and hell, like heaven, has many layers. And those who are tried with vices, extreme vices, know how dark and deep and desperate those places can be. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting us to ascend. He wants us back with him. We who are his servants, he summons us to be in the presence of the malaika, the angels, and through our capacity to choose what is right, to be in that sense higher than the angels. When we pray, we remember the mi'raj of the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That extraordinary ascent. And he got to the point beyond which even Jibril alayhi salam could not go. That's hard to imagine if you think about it. The closest of the close angels and the chosen one, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, went further and was closer. We can't imagine that. But we know that the gift of that night was the mi'raj. And we know when we pray that there is a recollection and a fragrance of that placeless place, that transcendence, that pure tanzih, the malakut, in this gift that he brought down from that place. So in the month of Ramadan, when the passions are a little bit taken away from us and the spiritual eye of the heart can see a little bit more clearly, the prayer can be better. What a shame it is that so many of our prayers are automatic, autopilot worship. Allahu Akbar, Assalamu Alaikum. What was in the middle? Can't really remember. It's not good enough. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted us with so many things. And this gift of the worship, the salat, is one of the greatest. But he gives us the form. The content, it's up to us to fill it. We can have a good niyyah or not bother. We can concentrate or not care. We can have khushu', as the beautiful words of Allah's eternal book washes over ourselves and our hearts, or we can pay no attention, wondering why our phone is buzzing in the pocket, or whatever else it might be, trivial things that the lower intelligences, the shayateen, whisper into us to take us away from that remarkable moment of munajat, of communing with our Lord. So as we enter this blessed month, which is the month of the Qur'an, let us make the intention that it truly be a month of the Qur'an. Not just a pretty sound which we hear during Taraweeh, but a reality which percolates into our hearts. Like the pure rain upon the parched desert, which sinks in, and which brings flowers, fruits, wondrous green things. Let us offer our hearts to that voice. Every moment in the Taraweeh is an opportunity for us to be open to eternity. because this is the nature of the book. Kalamullahi al-Qadim, Allah's uncreated speech, that was before, even when there was a before and an after, timeless. Ayatu haqqin min ar-Rahmani muhtathatun qadimatun sifatul mawsufi bil-qidami. Verses of truth, renewed by the Rahman, but ancient. Their ancientness is like the quality of he who has no beginning. In many ways, this is one of the great deep mysteries of Ramadan. We begin with not doing certain things. We don't smoke, we don't eat during the day, we try and restrain the tongue. We do those basic things, but the deepest of the deep miracles and mysteries and wonders and enigmas of Ramadan is the meaning of Allah's book. We hear it, beautifully recited, from a heart that is pure, and we need to observe its effect on our hearts. The miracle of Taraweeh is precisely this. If you have the good fortune to attend the Khatam during the month of Ramadan, which was when the Holy Prophet ﷺ recited it back and finally heard it, and it's the month of the Qur'an, and if on the Laylatul Qadr you have some inkling, one pure raindrop of that torrential downpour of the Divine Mercy, which comes like stars, munajjaman, like shooting stars to earth from the unimaginable Empyrean Malakut. If you have that, then it will be a good Laylatul Qadr. And if you have that during one night of Taraweeh, when the tears start to flow, and the heart truly becomes soft, and you start to detect the reality that behind the surface of the Qur'an there are other surfaces and immense depths. Fortunate is he who recognizes the sweetness of this book. Fortunate is he who knows that it is the most beautiful thing he or she will ever encounter. The only thing in this world that is not really of this world, because it is from before this world. Something that in a strange sense doesn't belong. Uncreated, immense, qadim. Where in this world did it or could it appear? This book, this kalam, that is not something Allah made, but is something that pre-exists the making of things. Where did it come? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. If we sent this Quran down upon a mountain, you would see it shattered, broken to pieces from the fear of Allah. A great mountain. What is more solid and impressive in this world than a great mountain? Everest, K2, Sina. They're imposing. We are just little ants by comparison with their majestic size and antiquity. But the Quran shatters them so that they are nothing. They cannot cope with that weight. It's too heavy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the book is heavy. And he warns his chosen one, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayk, إِنَّا سَنُوقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. We shall cast upon you a heavy word. It's one of the first ayahs to be revealed. And think about how that happened. This immense word, this extraordinary, infinite weight, this piece of uncreatedness, couldn't come onto the mountains. Where could it come? نَزَّلَهُ عَلَى قَلْبِكَ. He sent it down upon your heart. SubhanAllah. Again, the mind boggles and struggles. What manner of heart is that? A mountain shatters and can't carry this word, but his heart could carry it. And we know how powerful that was from the great hadiths at the beginning of Sahih al-Bukhari. وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُهُ يَنْزِلُ عَلَيْهِ الْوَحْيُ فِي الْيَوْمِ شَدِيدِ الْبَرْدِ وَإِنَّ جَبِينَهُ لَيَتَفَصَّدُ عَرَقًا. Aisha said, Allah bless her, so many treasures of his private privacy she conserved poured out for us like pearls. She said, I've seen the revelation descending on him on an extremely cold day, and his sweat was pouring forth from his brow. What was that? What was it that made him the Muzammil and the Mudathir and these things? That great noble person, the Amin of Quraysh, a mature man of 40, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, he says, cover me up. What was that experience, the it that occurred? We can't imagine that. What is it for your heart to be so capacious and so soft and so strong that it can carry infinity within itself? Kalamullah al-Qadim, the beginningless, the endless book. What is that? We can't imagine. But we do know that it tells us something, however small a portion of the totality, something of the greatness of the man, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man, but not as other men. Kalyaquti bayn al-hajar. Muhammad is a man like men, but he is like a ruby amongst stones. From a certain perspective, it's made of the same stuff of earth. He is bashar. He says, innama ana bashar, I'm only a man. Flesh and bones. That disclosure took place. What would be left of us if we saw the angel Jibril? Would we ever recover? And what would be left of us if we went to that place of Qaba Qawsain, where according to the hadith, Jibril says, if I were to go further, I would burn up. And only the chosen one can go into that space. And he saw. لَقَدْ رَأَى مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبْرَى. He saw of the signs of his Lord the greatest. He saw. We wouldn't survive the tiniest portion of a second. Nothing would remain of us. Nobody would know. It's inconceivable to see Al-Haq in the state of tajalli, manifestation, but he could see it. مَا زَاغَ الْبَصَرُ وَمَا طَغَى. His eye did not swerve, nor did it misbehave, do something wrong. Incredible. So all of these things that are in the Quran and the Hadith remind us of the greatness of the Chosen One, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's a greatness that we can't even put into words, and that is beyond the framing of the writers of books of Aqidah, because it's to do with the infinite, the Word, coming into this world, and we can't imagine what that could even begin to be. But during the month of Ramadan, we find that the fast culminates with the iftar, and then there's the Isha, and then there's the Taraweeh, so the day ends on a high. And in the Taraweeh, what do? We just stand, we just listen. The form of it is very simple, but it's about the word. The word that is not as any other word. The word that is not just letters on a page. The word that is not just the outward meaning of the text. The word that is this mazhar, this manifestation of the divine speech. And we hear it. That's simple. Even an unbeliever, a cat can hear it. A computer can record it. What matters is the way in which it reaches the heart. A measurement of the quality of one's Ramadan, which is never our effort but from the divine gift, because these are states of the heart, so not things that we can manipulate. I can move my hand, I can't move my heart. It's between two of the fingers of the All-Merciful. He turns it as he wills. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns the heart as he wills. That's why it's called the heart. Arabic قَلَّبَ يُقَلِّبُ يَتَقَلَّبُ means to fluctuate, to move around. We all know how quickly our moods shift. That's just the surface of it. But the spiritual receptivity to these tajalliyat, these mazahir, these fragrances of the unseen, we need to be ready for them. Famous hadith, إِنَّ فِي أَيَّامِ دَهْرِكُمْ لَنَفَحَاتْ أَلَافَ تَعَرَّضُوا لَهَا. There are truly, in the days of your time, exhalations. So be ready for them. Expose yourself to them. Nafahat, it does mean breathing. It means something from the breath of the All-Compassionate. When he, in his unrequited mercy and grace and kindness and lutf and rahmah and maghfirah, breathe some of his fragrance in the direction of us poor heedless souls. And the heart starts to wake up and it starts to pay attention. And in that state, then the stars of the Qur'an can descend and start to set it on fire, start to make it shine. They say every wali in the history of Islam, his wilaya came through the Qur'an. And some of them were so extraordinary that they would only speak with the Qur'an. They could have ordinary conversations amongst pious people, and everything that they said was a verse from the Qur'an, because they never wanted to hear or to say anything else. These are strange states. Curious people. But imagine how amazing they must have been. Just looking at them would melt hearts. These great awliya, of whom it is said, لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. No fear upon them, neither do they grieve. That's very enviable, isn't it? Nowadays, we fear and we grieve, and the media is about fear and grieving, the economy, the war in Ukraine, everything, fear, grieving. In other words, fear what might happen in the future, grieving what's just happened in the past, worrying and worrying. But awliya Allah, Allah's awliya, there's no fear upon them, neither do they grieve. Why? Because they know the future is in Allah's hands, so they have tawakkul. They're at peace. And the past is what Allah did, and what He does is always wise, even if it's painful. And that's right. That's a very enviable state in this age of mental health crisis, when everybody is taking antidepressants. That's the only real antidepressant, to know that everything is as He has willed it to be. And to reach that state has to be the sunnah practice of being open to the Qur'an. Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved the Qur'an. He loved the adhan. He would say, arihna ya Bilal. When he wanted the other things are closed, is something that's irrelevant. All of those little treats and sweets that we indulged ourselves with that took the mind and the heart away from any kind of hudur or concentration. We are given the opportunity to concentrate on what really contains sweetness. The halawa, the talawa of the Qur'an, the sweetness and the nourishing richness of the Qur'an. Remember the conversion of Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab. He had been a great enemy of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but the Holy Prophet prayed for him, prayed for his guidance. There's a lesson in that. When you see the evildoers of the world, the tyrants of so many countries nowadays, pray for them. Pray for their guidance. Allah is the mover of hearts. We should be praying for them. And Hazrat Umar heard that somebody, his own sister, had converted. Goes to the house. You know the story. Gets violent. And then he looks at the paper and it's Surah Taha, and he asks Khabbab ibn al-Arat to recite. And that's the moment, that's when the lightning strikes. Who could have imagined it in such a heart? A heart full of Jalal and a heart full of tribut. In that moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed a receptivity in it. The lightning strikes. Whether or not we're ready for it, whether or not we deserve it, Allah's lightning strikes. So as we move into this time, we become aware of what really matters. The shortness of our lives. The fact that the thing which is going to benefit us in the not short life that is after this life is the consequence of our states in this world. Not just our actions, but our states. Because without those good states, the intentions will be mediocre at best, and with mediocre intentions, our actions can only be mediocre at best. Begins here. At-taqwa hahuna wa ashara ila qalbihi. Taqwa is here, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pointed to his heart. That's the reality of the sight of judgment. Yawma la yanfa'u Allah bi qalbin salim. On the day, with a capital D, when neither wealth nor offspring will be of any benefit. My son has this, my daughter did that. No benefit. Except he who comes to Allah with a sound heart. Qalb salim. That's what we need. we should reorient our understanding of religion so that all of these things, the Hajj and the fast and the zakat and everything, move towards the purification of the heart. Because if the heart is pure, the body is pure, and the body is that with which we perform our actions. So inshallah, in this doorstep of Ramadan, we will start to think not just about the practicalities of sehri and iftar and those things. We will not just be looking forward to the celebratory aspects of the month of Ramadan, but we will also be looking into ourselves, and we will be pleading with the Creator, O Allah, give me a good Ramadan. Make my heart soft. Make my heart connected to your book. May your book wash over my rotten self with its purifying power. May I receive this lightning bolt, which has turned so many people around and made them into human marvels and into awliya. Make this for me my best Ramadan. Make this for me the Ramadan of the Qur'an, the Ramadan when I truly open its pages and get some glimpse, however tiny, of the blinding, amazing power, the jalal, the luminosity of this text. These are the things, as Sheikh Ghulam was saying, some of the things that we stress at Cambridge Muslim College, all of you welcome to visit, inshallah, where we emphasize that even though we have tafsir and fiqh and hadith and these things which the Muslim who wants to learn must know, no shortcuts, it all has a purpose, which is the prophetic purpose. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his purified and beautiful heart, which could see his Lord, subhanallah, which could receive his Lord's book, subhanallah, which could encounter an angel and live, that heart has to be the guiding principle in our lives. And that when we say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, we recognize the importance of that second shahada, without which the first one is just words, verbiage. Lawla al-wasita la dhahaba kama qila al-mawsut. But for the intermediary, the one to which the intermediary leads would be inaccessible. And he spent his life, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, really for us, to help us, to convey this powerful message, this qawl thaqeel, this heavy word of the Holy Qur'an, and to give us these amazing structures so that once a year in this blessed month, with the heart stilled and the appetites calmed a little bit by the fasting discipline of the day, we truly face the Qibla with our hearts as well as our bodies, and we open ourselves to the word, and we let the word cleanse us and purify us and set us up and renew us and give us strength and take away that khawf and that huzn, that fear and that sorrow. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a good niyyah for this Ramadan, give us a beautiful Ramadan, and our families a beautiful Ramadan, bring our families and neighbours together this Ramadan, bring us safely to the Eid insha'Allah, and accept with his generous qabool our intentions and our fasting in this most wonderful of months. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.